Cade takes the shotgun snap. Blitz coming. Cade gets away from the blitz. Rolls right side. Throws downfield. Got a man wide open. Moore inside the 10. Catches it inside the 5. Touchdown.
This is Cade Klubnik, and you are listening to 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar, where every day is game day.
You know, Alabama, you can dance, and Miami, you can dance, and James Madison and Tulane, you can dance. Notre Dame apparently not interested in dancing, even on the side floor.
Not even in the Pop-Tart Bowl.
Not even on the side floor. What a joke. What a joke. By the way, we didn't even talk about this with Notre Dame. Hour three of the program. We didn't even talk about this with Notre Dame. Do you know the little Easter egg that Pete Bavakwa dropped in there? That Notre Dame, again, they have gotten the sweet, they have the sweetheart deal. No matter what system you're talking about, they have the sweethearted deal of any school. They have the best deal of any school in the country when it comes to literally everything, okay? If they don't get in, it's because they didn't earn it. Point blank, period, because they are getting in. Case in point, there's a memorandum of understanding between Notre Dame and the playoff committee, that starting next year, if Notre Dame is ranked in the top 10, you think you're aggrieved now? You think you're aggrieved now? What about when BYU falls, Miami moves up twice, Alabama stays up there, Notre Dame drops, still gets in, Miami's left out? What about that? What about, what does the committee do when Notre Dame, do they drop Notre Dame to 13? I mean, if Notre Dame's in the top 12, they get in. Well, only the top 10 got in. So that means a more deserving team gets left out of an at-large spot because Notre Dame refuses to join a conference. Yet again, everybody else is told. Everybody else is told. You got to get on board. It's the new system. Everybody's got to be in a 58-team conference. You got to have 58-team conferences that span the globe. You got to expand to Mumbai. You got to expand to Stockholm. You got to expand to Mexico City because we got to have 58 teams in every league or else your league is just going to be dead. Except Notre Dame, who doesn't have to join a league and also gets treated like a conference champion with a lower bar than all the others. But I'm supposed to feel bad for Notre Dame because they got left out here. I'm sorry. I feel bad that you were misled.
The USA Today article cracks me up. The last line is, it's unclear if Bavakwa was supposed to disclose the MOU between Notre Dame and the College Football Playoff Committee.
Oh, that's the first thing I thought of.
Just air it out.
That's the first thing I thought of. Like, no one was just going to tell us that? Nobody was going to tell us that until a grieved Notre Dame just is like red-faced with steam coming out his ears and Bavakwa's just, his filter's gone?
They'll be able to drop them to 13th next year, but only if they're touching the team that should be ahead of them all year long.
God,
only then.
I heard somebody say it's the old middle school rule. You got to make room for Jesus between Notre Dame and Miami. Sam, like, you know, okay. I got to do this calmly. And Mike, we're coming right to you, man. You know that the touching thing is the stupidest thing. It's the worst justification.
It was the dumbest of a couple dumb things that were said yesterday.
It's the dumbest thing. Like, Miami and Notre Dame were close enough that they became together when BYU lost. But before BYU lost, they were not close enough together because there was a physical name that we wrote between them.
Because the Mormons were in the middle. It's ridiculous.
What?
It's ridiculous.
What,
man,
are we talking about? We got to talk about this. If people think there's a conspiracy, there was an actual conspiracy in the ACC championship game. I don't know if you saw this, Sam, but there was an actual conspiracy where the ACC actually, I think, tried to cheat the game. And I'm not even kidding. We're going to talk about this. Let's go to Mike, who's up with us next. What's up, Mike?
Hey, William.
Hope you're doing well, man.
Well, that's kind of why I wanted to talk to you.
All right.
Many, many, many years ago, while you were still in high school, you and your father coached a softball team together. Your younger sister Anna was on it.
Yes.
Haley and Carly Hoover were on that team.
That's correct. Yes, I remember.
And my daughter was on that team.
Yes.
Eeyore. Okay, so now you know who I am.
Yes.
If you saw me, you would recognize me right away.
Yes.
Okay. The hard part is, Emily and I lost her mother last month.
Oh, man.
She fought for 4 years with ovarian cancer. And she's in a better place now.
Mm.
But I wanted you to know, because I know you'll pray for the rest of us.
Yes. Oh, my.
But I did. Well, I mean, not everybody knew. Not everybody checks the Duckett Robinson Funeral Home obituaries every day.
Right.
Okay. So now, the reason I called, I find it absolutely hilarious that it's Notre Dame crying about, well, we were ranked this all week. The only ranking that matters every year is the final one after the conference championship games. What they do up to that doesn't mean squat. It never has. The only one that matters is the final one. And to see the absolute uproar over, oh, wait, Notre Dame was here, they were here, they were here. It doesn't matter. The only one that matters every year is the final one. And the six or eight that they do previous to that final one, they're just for something to talk about. They don't mean a thing. The only one that matters is that final one that they give on Selection Sunday.
You know, I want you to be wrong, Mike, but I think you're right, man. I appreciate the phone call, and I will be praying for you and the family, man. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry for your loss, man. And if there's anything we can do for you, let me know, okay?
Yeah, thank you, William.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate the phone call, man. That's very, very tough, man. That breaks my heart. That really does break my heart. Mm. Unbelievable. Tammy from Seneca says, sorry, Mike, don't know you, but that's crushing. God bless. I feel that, man. I feel that. I'm so sorry. Sam, I want to believe that these other rankings matter. And in fact, I think in some ways it does guide them. You know, if you were starting over after this week, then I don't know how you would put Alabama 9. Like, I truly am not, I'm not sure if you were truly starting, like, if it actually didn't matter, I don't know how you would put Alabama 9, but it's hard for me to look at what they did with Miami and Notre Dame and tell you that all the other rankings mattered.
Well, and they do, because BYU wasn't in the top 10. If BYU would have been in the top 10 and BYU was in a playoff spot going into that conference championship game, by their own logic that they are very inconsistent on, but used with SMU last year and used with Alabama this year, by that logic, they wouldn't have been able to drop BYU out. So they do matter, more so in where they're putting those teams necessarily than the at-larges, but I don't really know how to argue against this point when you look at Miami and Notre Dame and how they waited until the last minute to do it.
I mean, you it almost feels like, and I know I've said this before, and sometimes I mean it, and sometimes it's tongue-in-cheek, that the committee basically does what it wants with the playoff field and then uses the rest of the poll to sort of justify it. If the committee used the result of the ACC championship game to basically say, we have to get an ACC team in, and they put Miami in for that reason, Sam, I'm not about that. I'm not about that. I'm not about... Listen, I've said, I think the committee is the gatekeeper of what we want to be about in college football. And I do think that it makes sense that you would want a conference represented, that you would want the ACC represented in the field. But it is not the committee's job to erase the ACC's mistakes.
We had a couple of texts earlier that said they didn't want, maybe if Virginia would have won that game, Miami's not in there, Notre Dame is, because they don't want two ACC teams in. That can't be a factor. It cannot be a factor.
That's right.
It simply can't be.
Either you think Miami's better than Notre Dame when you're talking about at-larges, okay? Either you think Miami's better than Notre Dame or Miami's more deserving of being ahead of Notre Dame or you don't. But other results of other teams that aren't on either of their schedules should not factor into that calculus at all. And if I'm not saying that they did or they didn't. I'm saying they should not. If we're going to believe in this process, Sam, that cannot happen. We cannot have that be the case. We just can't.
And I don't actually fully think I disagree with those texts that say they don't want two ACC teams in. This may have been very different if Virginia got in. I don't think I disagree with that, and that is a problem.
Kirk Herbstreit recognized this yesterday. He said on their show, he said that they should do away with the Tuesday shows because it leads to more confusion. Now, I am for the Tuesday shows for stimulating conversation, but I actually think we're going to have conversation anyway. Let me just, we'll go to the phones here. Let me just say this. What if we did sort of like the basketball selection committee does? They do a top 16. They do a top 16 like a month out, about 3 weeks out, whatever it is. And then they don't do another update. Like, if we did one at the beginning of October and the beginning of November or whatever, and then we were just guessing the whole time, then you wouldn't feel, like, aggrieved. Like, I truly believe if the committee had not come out literally last week and said that Notre Dame is ahead of Miami and they're in the field, and then nobody dropped below Notre Dame and nobody rose up ahead of Notre Dame that played, like, won their way in, then I believe that Notre Dame fans and administration, all that, they might actually play in a bowl game. They wouldn't feel aggrieved, but it's because we did that show and because we had those rankings and because we did that update that everybody just feels like they're just flabbergasted. They're totally flabbergasted. If we didn't do the show, if we didn't update them every week, I don't think we'd have the problems that we have. Like I said, I'm okay with it, but don't act like if we don't have the show that we're not going to be guessing about what the committee would do anyway. We'd have our own rankings here at the Roar. In fact, that might not be a bad idea. I might throw that out there to upper management. Let's go to Tennessee Tiger, who's up with us next. What's up, Tennessee Tiger?
Hey, Qual. Let's see. DB that declared to go in the draft for Clemson, will that affect the high school recruiting, or have you heard? And I've heard that you can will the station contact Tim Beret and maybe give some more insight. My sources tell me they're flying the Notre Dame flag at half mast up there.
You know, I would not be surprised. Listen, and Tennessee Tiger, I appreciate the phone call. Thanks for it. We're going to talk about Avion Terrell here in a second. I want to squeeze in one more phone call here. Thank you. Like I said, I feel awful for Notre Dame's fans. I do, because I actually do believe that the committee misled them. They actually were misled to think that they were in. They were not wrong to think that they had reached a point where proximity to Miami was close enough that if the head-to-head mattered, that Miami would be ahead of Notre Dame. They were not wrong to think that. This was not a delusional fan base or a program that was believing propaganda and hype. This was a team that was told by the committee, you're good, and then you weren't at the end. And that's not okay. I mean, regardless of what you think about whether Notre Dame should have been in over Alabama or Miami as a football team or as a resume in the season or whatever, and I've made my opinions very clear on that, I think eye test-wise Notre Dame should be in, along with Miami and Alabama out. I think body of work-wise, you go Alabama and Miami with Notre Dame out. I think that's true. But the committee kept telling Notre Dame they were good. And that's not okay. That's not okay. That's mean. It's mean-spirited. It's gross. I don't like that we did it that way. And the committee can't act like they didn't do that because they did it for weeks. They had the opportunity to not tell that story to Notre Dame, and they told it anyway. And then they decided to tell a different story at the end for whatever reason that had nothing to do with either Miami or Notre Dame. Again, I'll say, and I've said this several times today, Miami did not play on Saturday. Notre Dame did not play on Saturday. And no team that Miami or Notre Dame played in the season played on Saturday. There was not a single data point that changed in Miami's body of work. There was not a single data point that changed in Notre Dame's body of work, and there was not a single team that played their way in that was ranked below both of those teams. There is no logical reason to get from the committee's rankings last week regarding Miami and Notre Dame to where they were this week with Miami and Notre Dame. And yet, I still think Notre Dame is a bunch of whiny babies who get their way every single time, and they were told no for the first time, and that's why they're reacting this way. Let's go to Victor before we hit our next break. What's up, Victor?
Hey, guys. Enjoying the show as usual.
Thank you, sir.
So I haven't been able to listen a whole lot, but I like what I've heard, but I'm going to ask you one question, and maybe you can tell me if you know anything about this or not. I saw this morning on some sports site that Ole Miss is going to be suing Lane Kiffin for whatever they're going to be suing him for, breach of contract or whatever it might be. I didn't know if you had any information on that. And one of my very best friends graduated from Ole Miss and lives about 5 miles from the school still today. And so I have interest over there. And I would like to say that if they decide to do that, you know, Ole Miss has a law school there. They have a lot of graduates that are attorneys. Probably a lot of those guys make pretty good money and are the big supporters. I you know, there was an old thing in one of the movies or something that said, be afraid, be very afraid. I just wonder if that applies. I don't know any insider information, but I just wonder if you guys had discussed that, if it would be something you'd want to talk about for a few minutes if you knew something. And I'll take it off the air. You guys have a great day.
Thanks very much, Victor. Appreciate the phone call. I'm gonna research this. I have not seen that. I would not be surprised if they don't try that at some point. I know that there's a lawsuit regarding Georgia and a kid that transferred to Missouri. I know that in terms of like back pay and stuff like that for NIL. But I don't believe that's happened with Lane yet. We'll look that up during the break. Hey, we've talked about decision-making a lot today, whether good, bad, or indifferent. PhoenixCenter.org, some of our young people make good decisions when it comes to alcohol, drugs, vaping. Most young people do make good decisions, and we need to be telling that story. We also need to be encouraging our young people to make decisions even before they get in these pressure-packed moments about what they're going to do. And it can be hard to talk to young people about this because it can be, frankly, hard to talk to young people about anything. But Phoenix Center has great opportunities, great examples of ways that we as parents and teachers and coaches and pastors and vendors, we can get on the same page and have these conversations and reinforce these themes all while going through the course of our day-to-day lives. Go to the website, phoenixcenter.org. Great, great resources there under, you guessed it, resources. Stay with us. We're going to go to the phones. Hour three continues after this.
Don't let pain steal away those precious moments with family and friends. It's not just your knees, your back, or your shoulders. They're taking away time from those precious moments of life. 2026 could be the time that you change everything. QC Kinetics here in Greenville believes that pain relief doesn't have to come from surgery or pain pills. It's your body's natural healing abilities to help repair and restore what's been lost, helping you move on and live a normal life. QC Kinetics has added a very powerful treatment option powered by the very cells that built in your body in the first place. So no surgery, no pain pills, no long recovery, just relief from you. Schedule today a telemedicine consultation to see if 2026 can lead to a much better life for you right now. Schedule that free telemedicine consultation now. It's a great time to do it. Use your HSA, your FSA, for treatments, call 864-766-8454. That's 864-766-8454 in Greenville and in Asheville. 864-766-8454.
How can you make her holiday truly special? By giving some Christmas magic from Turner's Jewelers. The perfect necklace, earrings, or watch will make her season bright. Choose from a variety of breathtaking collections. Or melt her heart with a spectacular Turner's custom jewelry design. Of course, Santa could decide to leave a dazzling engagement ring under the tree. Your special holiday begins at Turner's Jewelers in the Applewood Shopping Center.
The Club Car Onward Golf Cart is now available at Golf Cart Service in Spartanburg. This cart has the history of having superior design and performance compared to regular carts. These are the carts used at resorts, RV parks, beaches, and golf course neighborhoods. Dream up your cart design and let Golf Cart Service build it for you. Golf Cart Service is your authorized club car dealer in the upstate where you can get an Onward cart today. Visit our website, golfcartsc.com, to learn more, or visit us at 699 Southport Road. Get your club car onward today and really enjoy life.
This winter, save big with Blue Ridge Heating and Air. Upgrade to an energy-efficient Armstrong air system and get up to $2,000 in federal tax credits before January 1st. Plus, choose 60 months no-interest financing or up to $2,000 in rebates on select heat pumps that may also qualify for utility rebates. That's real money back and long-term savings on your energy bills. Schedule your free estimate today at BlueRidgeHeatingAir.com. Blue Ridge Heating and Air, engineered comfort solutions.
When reliability matters, trust American Doormasters to keep your business running smoothly. Is your garage door opener broken? We specialize in diagnosing and fixing issues quickly and professionally, all at a great price. From broken springs to complete installations, our expert team has the upstate of South Carolina covered. Don't let a faulty door disrupt your operations. Call today, 864-990-3075. American Doormasters, for all your garage door needs and experience top-notch service.
Hey, Tiger fans. I'm Morgan Coleman, proud Clemson soccer alum and upstate native. I may have hung up my cleats, but now spend my time assisting buyers and sellers in the Greenville, South Carolina area. My goal is to provide my clients peace of mind during one of the most important decisions of their life. It's important to have early conversations with a trusted realtor to help navigate the current market. If you are considering buying or selling, let's chat. Call me at 864-313-7639 or search Morgan Coleman Real Estate online to get started.
Have you considered the legacy you'll leave behind for your family? The staff at Green Law Firm is here to help you create a legacy you'll be proud of. The best time to plan for the future is now. Whether it's a straightforward will, power of attorney, family trust, or another option, David Green is here to guide you in choosing the right path for you and your loved ones. Call today, 864-271-7940, or visit greenlaw.legal so he can start planning your family's legacy together.
Holiday shopping time is running out, so give a gift that actually gets used. Odyssey Vehicle Outfitters, home of Rhino Linings of Greenville, has gift certificates ready for the ladies and the men on your list. From spray-on bedliners and protective coatings to lift kits, wheels, lighting, racks, steps, and custom accessories. And they can upgrade their ride any way they want, whether they work hard, play hard, or hit the trails every weekend. This is the gift they'll remember long after the holidays are over. Don't wait. Grab holiday gift certificates now at odysseyvehicleoutfitters.com and wrap up something Rhino tough.
FIFA World Cup 2026 is coming soon, but your opportunity to be there starts now through an exclusive offer with an eligible Bank of America Visa credit card. For a limited time, become a new customized cash rewards or unlimited cash rewards Visa credit card holder, and you will be eligible for a chance to purchase FIFA World Cup 2026 tickets. Learn more at bofa.com/cardfwc26. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America, proud to be the official bank of FIFA World Cup 2026. Bank of America NA in partnership with Visa. Terms apply. Awards reserved.
Powered by Upcountry Fiber, we are 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar. Providing fiber internet, HDTV, and phone service, Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
Are you incensed that you missed one of our daily shows?
And what do we have? We have an altercation of some sort down on the field. Shane Beamer is incensed, irate about something.
Stay calm. You can listen to all of our past shows at theroarfm.com and click on the podcast tab.
Sam, I made a mistake last night. It's not a mistake, but I played underdog. I had a mixed bag on Saturday with underdog, okay? And then I played last night in the NFL, and I realized, again, it wasn't a mistake to play, but it was a mistake to make myself watch a Chiefs football game. Those are not watchable these days. A lot of NFL is just not watchable.
The Texans defense is very watchable.
I tell you what, that Texans defense, problem.
I saw there was a stat that was like, amount of disguised coverages and simulated blitzes, and they were completely to the left on both on the y-axis and then completely on the ground. Like, they are up and down. I forgot my axes, but they were all the way to the left. Someone said they just line it up and go. They just run at you and say, stop us, and you can't do it.
I love it. I love it, man. No gimmicks. Your y-axis is real bad, man. It's been a while since you took a math class. Great stuff. Point being, a Woody Marks higher than 69.5 rushing plus receiving yards. Jaden Higgins higher than 2.5 receptions, and Isaiah Pacheco, who never catches any passes, lower than 7.5 receiving yards. That was, with a 50% profit boost, a 6.7x payout last night, Sam. So I woke up this morning, I was like, God, this sucks. I hope Woody Marks gets it home. Sure enough, Woody got it home the last couple series, and that was my underdog this weekend.
Shout out to Woody Marks.
If you want to play underdog today, NBA, college basketball, Monday Night Football. We got a good one tonight, Monday Night Football. Well, I may be overstating a little bit. It is a Monday Night Football game. You can play underdog.
On.
Download the app today. Use promo code OOB to score $100 in bonus entries when you play your first $5. That's promo code OOB. Underdog, make picks, win money. Must be 18 plus, present South Carolina. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/playing-it-terms_DFS_.html for details. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit ncpgambling.org. Oh, no. Caller, call us back. This caller, okay? This caller. Oh, I just... Caller, I hung up a... I haven't done that in a long time. I was trying to get the cursor to put you on air, and I hung up on accident. Please call us back. This same caller had to drop already once, and so I've hung up on him again. So I apologize for that. Please, if you call us back, we're going to put you right up, okay? I promise you that. God, what a... unprofessional moment.
We've all been there.
You know what made me mad? I was talking to John Height during the break, and I want to move on to other stuff. I want to move on to other stuff right here. But there's something that really grinds my gears with the Notre Dame thing. How many times do coaches say, you know, it's how do you respond to the stuff that happens? Now, I have said before that I think that is a nice coach speak, and that's what you should say to your team. But in life, the uncontrollables impact so much. I think we can convince ourselves that the only thing that matters in life are controllable things, because it sounds so good when coaches say it. You control the controllables. Yeah, but there are lots of things that impact you in every way, shape, and form that are not controllable. But coaches are telling teams all the time, hey, adversity hits, you got to respond. You got to respond. You got to respond. How do you respond? We heard about Florida State players at Stanford mocking Mike Norvell for saying, how do you respond? How do you respond? How do you respond? And he says it all the time. Coaches say that ad nauseum. Sam, Pete Bavakwa is responding terribly to this adversity. Marcus Freeman is responding terribly to this adversity. These players, this team is responding terribly to this adversity. How do you respond? Awful. Awful. Whether you agree or disagree logically with the decision to do it. And I could not be more clear on Notre Dame. I feel bad for their fans. I feel bad that the playoff committee did this to them. But they are responding horribly to this. In every way, shape, and form, they have responded terribly to this. How can this coaching staff credibly say that we stood up and responded? How can this AD stand up to his coaches and say, your teams have to respond? He has responded like a child. He has responded in such an immature manner. I just think, like, if we're going to do the, and I think it's important that we do, so I'm not belittling it, but if we're going to do the, well, football is an extension of life, and playing football teaches you how to be a better man and all this stuff, what does this teach you? I'm 10-2. I don't want to do a thing. I have no obligation to the people that do, so we're just going to not do it?
Quit when you don't get your way. That's, I mean, that's what it's teaching you.
That's the lesson. I mean, look, some of that might be Pollyanna. Some of y'all might say, well, Quack, it's totally professionalized now. We're not going to do all these little life lessons and all this stuff. Well, every coach is going to justify their existence by saying that we're teaching them to be better men. What about this is making any Notre Dame player or coach a better man?
You know, allegedly, seniors voted on this, right, to not play in the bowl game. There's no way this is a unanimous decision. I refuse to believe that. There's no way that these seniors, some of them that are going to the NFL, probably said, okay, whatever, I don't want to play in the Pop-Tart Bowl. There's a bunch of them that aren't. bunch of them are going to be accountants next year. Like, this is not a unanimous decision. There's just no way I refuse to believe it. I bet in a week, a lot of these players are going to be wishing they're playing in another game instead of being done because they were mad and made an impulse decision 20 minutes after the committee wronged them in their eyes. I think in like a week or two, they're going to change their mind.
Tammy from Seneca says, how do you respond to the peasant's quack, not regal Notre Dame? Texter says from the 864, my brother's a senior at App State. He would love to be in their position. Yeah, App State wants to play a conference game.
Shout out to App State for being the only team apparently ever with 5 wins this year willing to play in a bowl game against Georgia Southern. I mean, good Lord, they ran. What is Rutgers doing saying no to it? But you're Rutgers. Who do you think you are?
We're good.
Nah, we don't want to play the Birmingham Bowl.
All right, we did, as the Texter said, we did Lindsey Buckingham him just now. We did. But Seth is back with us, and we thank him for it. Seth, apologies. Thank you for getting back in. How are we doing?
Hey, brother. So, I got a question to y'all about last week. There was a press conference with Dabo Swinney, and when he started talking about quarterbacks for next year and started talking about positions for next year, is there anything at all that kind of made y'all, you know, scratch your head a little bit and say, you know, is Dabo Swinney really is he really seeing what everybody else is seeing about next season? And it almost seems like he's not realizing what everybody else is seeing about Christian Vezina, and that the guy just doesn't look like he's ready to go next season going into LSU. It just don't seem like the same Dabo Swinney that we've seen in 2009 when we hired the guy. Do any of y'all get that same kind of feeling about what I'm feeling about next season?
You know, let me say this. I've had that thought, but here's how I would frame it, though. I think Dabo Swinney's default position is to believe in his people, and it has served him well, and I think it has bit him in the rear. I think this year it bit him in the rear some, that he believed in his people. I think from a coaching standpoint, it has bit him in the rear. It's also helped him. I think from a personnel standpoint, it's bit him in the rear. It's also helped him. And so it's hard for me to say that philosophy is broken, given the fact that you could supply a mountain of evidence in Dabo, maybe even over-believing in the people that he believes in, that he brought here, that he's invested in, and them paying it off. I just think in this era, I'm kind of your point, in this era, over-belief in people can cost you games because almost no one is believing in their people. Almost no one. And that's kind of your point about Dabo. Like, to me, Dabo Swinney believing in a lot of the players, and it wasn't just Dabo, like the whole world believed in the array of very talented players that Clemson brought in that did not live up to the billing this year. So it wasn't just a Dabo thing. It just objectively in the marketplace, there were lots of people who gladly would have taken, you know, the T.J. Parker, Peter Woods, Cade Klubnik, Antonio Witt. Like, they would have taken all those guys. But it just didn't work. For whatever reason, it didn't work. Dabo has promoted assistants from within and won national championships, and he's had to fire some. So I see the Christopher Vezina situation like you do, that I think it is just too big of a risk when you have an opportunity and you can't see Christopher Vezina play in the spring as the number one guy. You can't see him do that before you make a decision on your quarterback. It's not possible. That you can't let that be your plan A. That plan A has to be bring somebody else in, and if Vezina beats somebody out, he has beaten somebody who has played college football consistently. So I would agree with you on that. I think in other positions, he's willing to let it ride. Like safety, I think we all know that Clemson's going to have a total retooling at safety. But quarterback is the one that's got people all in a tizzy, and I think I sort of understand. I understand what Dabo's doing, but I also understand and more sympathize with the frustrations of people who think that that's just too big of a risk to take going into next year.
Yeah, like I said, it's just too big a season next year for me to have a guy going in that everybody, like we've seen the guy, like we've watched him on the field, and he's had moments, and I know – you know, he's looked decent at times, but, you know, I just don't know that that's the guy that you see going in next season saying, that's the guy I want going into LSU next year and as my starting quarterback. And I don't, you know, I'm just worried that you know, and I know Dabo's making $11 million a year, and it means a lot more to him than it does to me, even though I'm a big Clemson fan. But I just can't see that being the guy you go into LSU next year with, that being your quarterback. Like I said, I'm afraid with if he goes into it with that theory, I'm afraid we're looking at 7-5, 8-4 next year, you know, without making a significant change at quarterback. And I don't know if it's dancing or what, but I don't know. I guess I worry about – it just don't seem like Dabo has a sense of urgency that maybe some of us fans do about, you know, the most important position on the field, and that being quarterback.
I'm with you on that, Seth. I appreciate the phone call. Thanks very much. I love that the texters listen to the show. I love it. And here's we get a couple of these, okay, in 864. I think Dabo has to go get a guy who's proven he can make good decisions on the field just in case the guys on the roster can improve enough in the offseason. Look, I agree. I don't think Dabo needs to break the bank for the most expensive quarterback. But I do think that quarterback has to be better this year. And the rest of the offense has to be better. But how much better the quarterback needs to be is directly reflected in how much better the rest of the roster gets. I've said that about Vezina. Can you win the ACC with Vezina? Yes, you can. But the rest of the roster has to be significantly better. If you want to not have to do all the upgrades necessary in the rest of the roster, you should upgrade quarterback. That's kind of been my point. Texter says this. It's not the QB as much as Clemson's O-line. I mean, that's kind of my point. Like, Clemson needs other things as well. Once you figure out what you want to do at quarterback, it sets your course elsewhere. I do think there is a movement, and we'll go to break on this. I do think there is a movement to try to go a little bit cheaper on quarterback and spend money on the rest of the roster, sort of like in the NFL. If you feel like quarterback is a position where the values get exorbitantly too high, then you could go with a mid-tier quarterback that's sort of a, you can call a game manager, a distributor type or what have you, maybe somebody that's dual threat with some accuracy issues or whatever.
Jalen Hurts.
You can spend money on that guy, sort of like a rookie contract in the NFL, and you can put money into older established players on your line of scrimmage and your secondary at wide receiver and so forth.
Jalen Hurts is the perfect example of if the roster around you is good enough, your quarterback doesn't have to be Patrick Mahomes. In the college case, your quarterback doesn't have to be, I don't know, name your favorite quarterback, Fernando Mendoza. You can build a really good team. Clemson's roster this year in a lot of areas wasn't good enough to be championship quality, even if they had a championship quality quarterback.
Correct. And a lot of Texans are getting in and basically saying Dabo's not going to tip his hand in a signing day press conference, which we talked about that last week. I agree with that. And I do think that Clemson will ask around. I don't know that they'll bring one in. I think they will. I don't know that they will. But I know that they will have conversations. I know they're going to go to agents and they're going to have conversations about quarterback because they'd be silly not to at least look at the market at a bare minimum. Final segment of the program's up next. Don't go anywhere.
Concerned about a potential gas leak at home? No worries. Fort Hill Natural Gas, your safety-focused energy provider, has you covered. Natural Gas, renowned for its safety and reliability, ensures your household comfort while it's colorless and odorless. We've added a distinctive rotten egg scent for instant leak detection. If you ever smell a gas odor, act fast and call the Fort Hill Natural Gas office immediately. For more safety tips, visit FHNGA.com.
Is your crawl space damp or musty? Water in your crawl space can cause wood to rot and create an environment for mold and mildew that can make its way inside your home. Canty Foundation Specialist specializes in crawl space repair. Call us today for your free inspection so you can have the peace of mind knowing your crawl space is dry and your home is protected. Call today, 864-641-0176, or visit cantycanfixit.com.
It's the ideal time of year to visit ACD Sports on 123 in Easley. ACD has a great selection of Clemson items for all ages in their Clemson fan shop, plus spirit wear for Pickens County Schools. ACD does team uniforms, company caps and polos, embroidery and screen printing, and can set your team, business, or group up with a free online store with items using your logo. Find out why you should have ACD Sports on your team. Open weekdays 9 to 7, Saturdays 9 to 5. ACD Sports, Highway 123, Easley, next to Chick-fil-A.
It's game on at Lake Kiwi Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram and Lake Kiwi Ford, and my team's ready to serve you.
If it's selection you want, we got you covered with over 500 vehicles available. And we're tackling high prices with huge discounts, like saving up to $15,000 off a new F-150 or a Ram 1500. Plus, Lake Kiwi is blocking high interest rates with attractive financing. So make the winning drive, Lake Kiwi Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram or Lake Kiwi Ford, or you can shop us all online at LakeKiwiAutoGroup.com. That's LakeKiwiAutoGroup.com.
See dealer for details.
Did you hear that? It's game on at Lake Kiwi Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram and Lake Kiwi Ford, where Mark's team is ready to serve you. If it's selection you want, they've got you covered with over 500 vehicles ready for delivery. And Lake Kiwi's tackling high prices with new trucks discounted up to $15,000. Yes, you can save up to $15,000 on a new truck at Lake Kiwi, and they've got a bunch of them to choose from. So make the winning drive to Lake Kiwi Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram and Lake Kiwi Ford. They're between Clemson and Seneca, and all always open at LakeKiwiAutoGroup.com. See dealer for details.
Hey, Mom, checking in on you and Dad. I saw there was a huge storm in your area last night.
Oh, we're great. Power is out in our neighborhood, but thank goodness our Generac home standby generator gave us backup power so your father could sleep. We didn't skip a beat.
Oh, wonderful. I know that CPAP is his lifeline at night, and with me living a state away, I can rest easy knowing you're both safe. Love you, Mom.
Love you too, son.
Call Central Electrical Services at 864-556-8002 for your free estimate today and peace of mind for your loved ones.
It's time to kick off the perfect tailgate and take your team to Ingles. Chips and guac made fresh in store every day. The best meat in town packaged fresh every day. And smiling faces giving you their best every day. Let's be real. In the South, football season is our favorite season of the year. There's a lot to smile about, especially with deals like these. Ingles, low prices, love the savings.
Ever tried calling an insurance company after a wreck or work injury? Press 1 for confusion, press 2 for excuses, press 3 to never speak to a human again. I'm Trey Mills with the Tramwin Mills Law Firm, and we don't play those games. If you've been injured, we take on the insurance company so you don't have to. You focus on the healing, and we'll handle the headaches. Call 864-485-8585 or visit us at tramwinmills.com. We don't let them mess around and get away with it.
When is a symphony actually a rock show? When the Black Jacket Symphony comes to town. Experience the era of Yacht Rock live as top-tier musicians recreate iconic albums, note for note, sound for sound, with stunning precision. It's not just a concert. It's a masterclass in rock nostalgia and sonic perfection. Catch the magic December 20th at the Walhalla Performing Arts Center. Tickets at walhallapac.com. Don't miss a night of legendary music. You'll never hear rock the same way again.
From our Roar family to yours, thanks for being with us all year long.
Hey, buddy. Happy holidays. I got you something for Christmas.
Merry Christmas and happy holidays.
Sing my share of broken halos, folding wings that used to fly. They've all gone. Well,
all right, final segment of the show. Thanks for joining us today. Sam, we have not talked about the most egregious thing that happened on Saturday. We've talked about all the major games. We haven't talked about the Friday games. I think we should talk about the Friday. I thought Kennesaw State.
Hootie hoo.
Wild.
How in the world did Kennesaw win. State? There were two separate, 3rd and 27. They complete for 26 up the seam. No business getting that. 4th and 14, instead of trying a 55-yard field goal to tie the game, I believe it was at the time, they go for it and they get 16.
I mean, like, and the quarterback scramble. Yeah. And the quarterback does it with his legs.
Longest scramble of all time.
Oh, man. By the way, congratulations. You won game out of first place. You the second place, you did win last week. So congratulations on that. Really a nice finish. 80-68 overall.
Fernando Mendoza, Ohio State, dude. Ohio State let me down. That was it. Ohio State. Mike Vaughn got me on the Indiana pick. I got Duke. I lost Ohio State. One game. Shout out to Mike Vaughn for winning our pick'em.
I went 6-3 last week.
Did you
finish
over
500
overall?
No, 71-77. I got November crushed me.
I was gonna say you were up there with me and Will for a lot of the year.
Look, ever since I went and I didn't do anything crazy, but I did a little actual wagering down in the casino in the Bahamas. Ever since then, my luck has been very good, so I'm glad for that. But this, like this weekend, yeah, I think I was 7-3 against the spread in our 10 picks and 6-3 in the contest. I hit Troy. That was good. Kennesaw State straight up was good. Boise covered easily. That was good. Texas Tech easily. That was good. The Virginia Duke game, I got to tell you, man. Did you watch the end of the Virginia Duke game?
I'm not going to sit here and lie to you. Faxon and I watched the majority of that game.
Okay.
That was our primary screen because we're sickos.
Okay. So the Virginia Duke game to me was like I've joked about, oh man, the league really wanted to protect the favored son. You know, like, oh man, the refs really got together to protect the favored son. Sam, I've never actually seen it until this game. Did you see the catch on Virginia's last drive? I believe it's the last drive. The review of the catch on the sideline.
Yeah.
Sam, we have been told, and we have disagreed with, I have disagreed with the way that the reviews and the review analysts and the referees define what a catch is the whole year. And I know what the rule is because I disagree with it, that you have to complete the process of a catch. That includes the ground. And I've said, why do you get to catch a ball in the end zone and then spike it? But if you catch a ball in the end zone and then get tackled in play and it hits the ground, it's not a catch. We talked about that for an entire month at the start of the season. Sam, I know what they tell me is and is not a catch. Sam, the play in question, Virginia's got a ball, and it is a great catch on the sideline, but the guy, like, hyperextends his knee or something. The receiver, it was Trail Harris, I believe, that hyperextends his knee, and he goes down, and the ball clearly, when it hits the ground, it squirts like 5 yards away. It's not even close, and they rule it incomplete because it came out. So they rule while they're checking on Harris, the previous play is under further review. And, like, in the booth, McDonough and McElroy are going, yeah, man, I mean, the ball comes out. Boy, tough, man, tough for Trail Harris. And they bring the rules analyst in. He's like, yeah, man, he didn't complete the process of the catch. And that's, look, I think that a catch, we are way too strict about what's a catch and what's not a catch. I've said that a catch is what, the catch is a catch. A catch is what we all know is a catch, what we all agree is a catch. And you can define it however you want, but we just know it. Like what the congressman said about porn the one time. I don't know how to define it, but I know when I see it. Like that, that's what a catch is. Sorry for 252 using that word. Sorry, kids in the earmuffs, kids in the car line. But they go to the ACC with all this transparency. They go to the headquarters, and he goes, all right, and he starts talking through. And he goes, all right, I've got a catch. And the process of the catch is complete before he goes to the ground. And the referee is like, wait, so we're saying it's before he goes to the ground. And the referee keeps asking him, like, are you sure that we're going to say the process of this catch where he basically toe-tapped the sideline and then got hit and went directly down and fumbled the ball? You're saying the process of a catch was completed before he hit the ground? And he said, yep, that's what we got. We're going to overturn this call, and it's going to be 1st and 10 at the 29. And I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. That is a different definition. Sam, that's a different definition of a catch than we've seen the entire season. We have never seen another catch adjudicated that way, including the times where they've gone to review in the ACC. And Sam, it occurred to me. The ACC knows that if Duke gets in, it's a 5-loss conference champion. If they win the league, they're not getting any teams in. Because Miami hasn't been jumping Notre Dame, so they're not going to jump Notre Dame. That's what the ACC's thinking. And so my thought, Sam, for the first time logically ever, is that what I just saw is a rig trying to basically ensure through rule interpretation that has never been tried. They have not. As much as I would love for that to be said all year, they've never been tried. And I'm stunned. I'm stunned at what I'm watching. I'm like, the league is actively conspiring to keep Virginia's drive alive. They are actively conspiring to get Virginia the win so that the ACC gets a representative in this playoff. I have never actually watched a game where I thought the fix is in from the league office. I have yelled about it some at Clemson games, at Duke basketball, North Carolina basketball, Florida State football. I've yelled about it all as many times as you can. And I know a lot of non-Clemson fans have yelled about it for Clemson. But you're really just blowing smoke. I believe we saw the first ever rigged result from a league office in the Virginia-Duke game. And it didn't matter because Duke won in overtime. But the fact that they overturned that call, and they go to Matt Austin or whatever the guy's name, he's like, I disagree with that, guys. I disagree with that. You know why? Because it's different than every other catch, no catch that's ever been reviewed in college football this year.
I notice a lot of disagreements, actually, and this is usually something you don't get a lot because I think the refs on TV want to protect the refs on the field. I noticed a lot of disagreement and a lot of dissent from the TV refs this weekend. Matt Austin was disagreeing with just about everything those two nights. That was a little out of the ordinary. Here's one thing I will say, Quag. Is it a better outcome for the ACC if Miami and not Virginia are in, or if conference champion Virginia and not Miami's in? I think it's way better for them if Miami's the only team in.
This is actually a best case scenario.
I think
this
Virginia would have got ran out of the building by any manageable opponent in the playoff. I think they would have got blitzed. Not a team that's even comparable to Miami, in my opinion.
Virginia would have been a nice middle ground between James Madison and... Although Virginia James Madison probably not that dissimilar, and Tulane, and the rest of the field.
I think Virginia would have got ran out of the building. I think this worked out as well as it possibly could have for the ACC.
By the way,
silly as it is that it did.
Texter says this, and this is true. This is on the same drive. Did you notice they didn't even review the guy going out of bounds? The referee throws his hat. Sam, I've got Virginia, and I want the ACC in, so I'm screaming for Virginia. The ref throws his hat. And then signals touchdown. He threw his hat because the guy goes out and reestablishes.
Yeah,
they don't even review it. They don't do anything about it. He throws his hat and then signals touchdown. I'm like, you're not even going to go and try to argue that he was out?
He was pushed, but at the same time, he was out for like a good 2 seconds. And they went very quickly. I was a little surprised. Fax and I both said it. We were a little surprised at the swiftness of that non-review, really. That they made that conclusion very quickly.
It's not surprising if you think that the league office had a goal.
And Duke
again,
still
I'm
won.
Just telling you.
And Duke
I've
still won.
I've never seen a game where I actually thought the league office was putting their thumb on the scale until this game. I've never actually seen that. Let's go to Patrick, who's up with us next. Final couple minutes of the show. What's up, Patrick?
What's up, Quack? I just wanted to jump in right before the end of the day, man. And I'm not sure if you touched on this yet, but I just wanted to reach out and see who do you think is not really on upset alert first week of the playoffs, but who do you feel like is in the most jeopardizing state, I guess you can say. Who is like the unlikely team that could get beat?
That's a great point, Patrick. I appreciate the phone call. Thanks. We have not talked about that. My first blush is that I think Miami's going to win at A&M.
Yeah, I think that's a toss-up game for me.
And the reasons are line of scrimmage. And also, you know, I said I think there are three teams that can win the national title. I think Ohio State can win. I think Indiana can win, obviously, because they beat Ohio State. And I think Texas Tech can win. I know their offense has not been great, but to me, Texas Tech is like a better version of the Georgia that we're seeing right now, to me. And then the team that, if the quarterback gets his head out of his rectum, can win a national title is Miami. Like, how is A&M going to block Miami? The answer is they're not going to block Miami. They can't block Miami. Marcel Reed's going to be in jail. He's going to be in absolute Hades, Dante's Inferno, for 3 hours and 20 minutes. So how is Miami not going to have success there? I mean, we saw that Texas A&M overcame a 20. I mean, like, that's a team that was down by 4 scores at half to South Carolina and lost to Texas. Like, Miami's better than South Carolina. Miami's better than Texas. That would be mine. Do you have an upset alert team, Sam, first weekend?
I think Miami has a very good chance to win that game. I don't think this is going to happen at all. Let me preface this by saying it. But I do think there is at least a non-zero chance Tulane keeps Ole Miss closer than the earlier season game would indicate.
I agree with that.
There are a lot of outside of football factors here that are going to be a little wonky, more so than they otherwise would be. And I don't think Tulane's a bad football team. Their defense is pretty solid. They made Drew Messmaker look awful the other night. If they can score first and get in Ole Miss's head a little bit, it could be a little bit closer than people think. I don't think they're going to win, but
The total in this game is 56.5. I might take the under here. Oh, I know Charlie Weiss Jr.'s back, but a lot of that offensive staff is already at LSU.
There are outside of football factors plus missing coaches that could make it a closer game than it should be.
Agreed.
I still think Ole Miss wins.
We're going to talk about that more tomorrow. We'll also talk more BYU-Clemson tomorrow. I'm excited to get into that matchup. That's going to be a heck of a game. God bless. We'll see you then. Walt is up next.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson. WAHT AM 1560, Cowpens. 97.5, Spartanburg. We are the Roar.